Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Uncover a world of sensuality and pleasure with New Zealand's pioneering sex toy purveyors. Whether you seek excitement that leaves you wet, loud, or speechless, we have something for your every desire. Explore the world's best brands at your fingertips. Peachesandcream.co.nz, R18. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, intimacy and relationship coach and culinary artist, and I'm bringing sex to the dinner table. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat to Amy Tasty. Amy is a digital producer specializing in all things food, from styling to recipe creation, art direction, chefing, and presenting. She is a feeder, a nourisher, and will show her love through the medium of homemade lasagna. During her 3 years as a producer at Tasty of BuzzFeed, the world's largest food publishers, her videos surpassed 100 million views. She was invited to LA to explore a transfer stateside, but instead decided to leave her job to work less and live more, to rewild, to build her own home and welcome her first child. In this episode, Amy shares the juicy details on how she met her baby daddy. It is truly the one love story to rule them all. She talks sex-positive parties, how becoming sober has been the sexiest decision she's ever made, how implementing boundaries and learning to say no has been a journey for her. We talk beauty standards and so much more. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started. Welcome, Amy. It is such a pleasure to have you on Finger Food. I'm so excited to have you here and I'm so happy that we could make this work.
Thank you for having me. I am so looking forward to this chat.
Yeah. I mean, we were definitely on the pump in terms of Amy's timeline because she is 9 months pregnant, so she could give birth on this podcast today.
Literally. I mean, in my dreams, would it be that fast?
I'm hoping for it. I'm really hoping for it. I think with our vibes combined.
Yeah, maybe your vibes will give me the oxytocin that I need to kickstart the labor.
I like the thought of that. I really like the thought of that. Okay, so well, in the honor of bringing more oxytocin into this beautiful virtual container, I have bought you, and I know that you've made one as well at home, a virgin martini and some warmed olives with garlic and lemon, Sicilian olives, garlic and lemon and rosemary and chili, and then loads of olive oil. You just heat them up in the pan.
Well, chin chin. I've got a little
sweetie. I can't reach this one.
My version. Cheers, babes. I have a sip.
I didn't actually know what a virgin martini was, so can you describe to me what?
Okay, well, I don't think it's a real thing. I don't think anybody who is not pregnant would ever drink this, but it's basically olive brine with a giant ice cube. And I was tempted in the honor of pregnancy to make a little, you know, like a salt rim, but I was going to crush up a Rennie tablet, which is like a heartburn tablet to dip it in because Heartburn is no joke in the third trimester. But instead, I just crushed one up and snorted it. I'm just kidding.
It is so delicious. It's literally just olive brine, and I put a little bit of soda water in mine, but like quite delicious.
Interesting. So is yours fizzy?
Well, slightly.
Oh, okay.
Was that wrong?
I don't know how I feel about that, because that makes me think of like, well, soda water when it's gone kind of flat and you've just got like a bit of a tang, but then you've made it like salty and olivey.
Yeah, I know what you're saying now. For me, it tastes fantastic, but now you've probably ruined it for me. But you're the connoisseur.
Well, I'm gonna try it your way. But yeah, just an ice cold. Yeah, I definitely will try it. But yeah,
you know, cold one, like as it's like super crispy, ice cold, and then just top it up with some ice cold soda water. Quite good.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
This is a big flavor for my 8 a.m. Like having olives and and a martini at 8 a.m. is a pursuit.
Fair enough. It is 9 p.m. here, so it's well past martini o'clock.
It's definitely your bedtime. You're 9 months pregnant. I'm keeping you up.
Yeah, you are. This is a little nightcap before I go to sleep.
So I'm going to let the world know how Amy Tasty came into my life. You were living with my sister in a warehouse with 20 other people.
In London, in Manor House, North London. And I was there from 2015 to 2020.
It was the most amazing spot ever. Like 20 people lived in that house. All of the rooms had their own essentially flats within the big flat. And it was the biggest vibe. Parties all the time, would always make food together. I came and stayed there with you when I was having my crisis with my ex-husband. And it was so dreamy. And then you also came and did some work with Meringue Girls. You helped us style one of the shoots and you did some modeling for us. And then you worked on our stalls a couple of times.
Yeah, that's correct. And you are the reason that I became a food stylist. Like, no joke.
Oh my God.
Did you know that? No, for real. No. I remember the moment when I found out that it was even a real job. Like, we were sat in the yard. I won't call it a garden. It was a yard. It was like the car park bit in the back of the warehouse. And we sat there having some drinks. It was like a summer evening. It was way before you lived there. And it was the first time I met you, and Sian introduced me to you. And she was like, oh, Stacey has a cookbook. And I was like, no way. Cause obviously, like, I'm obsessed with cooking and baking and style, like just foodie things in general. We got your cookbook out and I was like, just so mind blown just with you and just your life and your career. And that was the catalyst that made me go into food styling. So I owe it all to you.
Oh my God. I'm so honored. Well, you've surpassed me in a million light years, because Amy has now gone on to work for BuzzFeed, for Tasty. Her recipe videos have reached over hundreds of millions. Have I just made that up? Over 100 million.
It's true.
Views. It's true. It's truth. And I have just been watching your journey in awe, just so amazed by all the amazing things that you've done and places you've traveled. And now you are working independently and building a tiny home and have got this beautiful baby daddy, and you're 9 months pregnant.
It's crazy hearing you say all the stuff about working at Tasty, because that just feels like a lifetime ago, even though it really wasn't. And it's such a transitional time for me at the moment. I'm deep in my Saturn returns right now.
Yes, because how old are you?
29.
Yeah. How was the Saturn returns treating you?
It is treating me really well. It's confirming a lot of things, but it's also throwing a lot of things up in the air and making me realize what it is that I want and who I am and where I want to be. But I'm really feeling that cosmic alarm clock, you know, jingling all the bells, just making me question everything. But I'm feeling really good about it, even though it's not easy.
Yeah, fucking A, it's not easy. One of my besties is also going through a Saturn returns right now. She's 29 and she's like, this is a just cosmic fuckery. Just so much is happening. And I remember at that same time, I got a divorce. I left my business and traveled the world for a year. I had like a full-on identity crisis and I was like, who am I if I'm not a wife or a business owner or like any of those things? And it was such a pivotal time of change. So I really hear you and I can see how much change is happening for you at the moment. And although it's so exciting, it's also like derailing in a sense because you're like, ah!
Yeah.
It's life.
But, yeah, but I'm feeling like it is a blessing to have space to be able to like answer those questions. Yeah. I'm enjoying the roller coaster of it somewhat.
I love that you've surrendered to the roller coaster.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Like that you're strapped in, you don't have a choice. You have to surrender, else you die.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bit extra, but yeah, you just have to
go I'm the ultimate resistor, so like, yeah. Maybe I died 1,000 deaths. You're doing
and
it the
maybe
right
you
way.
Needed to and you were reborn and that works too. So.
Yeah, I like that. I really like that perspective. Thank you for sharing that. So you're no longer working at Tasty. You're working independently. You've got your baby daddy. You're having a baby. You're building a tiny home. When did baby daddy come into the equation? How did you meet him? Tell me everything. Ooh,
this is juicy.
Yes.
Do you know this story? This is...
No. No.
Okay. Well, here
I'm
we go.
So
let's
excited.
Let's dive right in. So it was... the 29th of February, 2020. It was a leap year. So there was like magical spirits at play anyway. In hindsight, like when I think about that day now, I realize that it was the day that I met the ghosts of my relationships, past, present and future, because I went on a Hinge date that day. And it was this guy that I'd been talking to for like, I don't know, just like a week or something. And he picked me up from the warehouse in his Porsche and he was wearing like Gucci loafers. And I was just like, for me, that's a red flag. But
Gucci loafers are definitely a red flag. I'm not sure if the Porsche is a red flag, but the Gucci loafers, they've got to go.
It's just not my, like fancy cars, just not my cup of tea. Like I just, yeah, I love my Fiat 500 and no matter how much money I make, I just, that's the car that I want. And anyway, irrelevant.
So cute.
So he picked me up. We went to the Ivy. I was like, yeah, yeah, he's nice, whatever. So like that was life showing me that was one avenue I could have gone down. Went back home to the warehouse and... me and my best friend Rosie were getting ready to go to this event called Pinky Promise, which is a sex positive party in London. It's in Berlin now as well, but this was in London and this was the first one of these parties. And my housemate Madalena had invited my ex-boyfriend round. So like he was there like at the house for pre-drinks, got all dressed up in a little cute lingerie set and like a little kimono and left the house and went to the party. So that was like my relationship ghosts of past with my ex at the house and then present this Hinge or Tinder date or whatever it was. So we go to this party and Rosie, my friend who I've gone with, is putting on a workshop and it was called Sense and Sensuality. And also just side note, like Pinky Promise is just the most amazing sex positive event. Like have you heard of it? Because there are things.
No, I haven't. And I really am inspired by this because New Zealand just like doesn't have anything of the caliber that I want to go to in that vein that I know about anyway.
You should start it.
Yeah. Yeah. Continue. I need to know more.
So there were like workshops there, like women's circles, life drawing, erotic storytelling, like naked UV bubble dance party, cabaret, body painting. God. So many amazing things, like more to do other than just drink and dance. Which is fun, but I like an event where it's like immersive and you can pop into loads of different rooms and like do stuff.
Yeah.
So me and Rosie go to set up her workshop, Sense and Sensuality. So we've got this little pink room and this guy walks in and I just look at him and I just say, where have you been? I've been waiting for you. And that was the first thing I ever said to him.
No.
And I don't know why. I don't know why I said that. It just came out of my, just came out.
Whoa.
So yeah, it was kind of like, it was love at first sight, but really, and I've never experienced anything like that before.
Oh my God.
So we did like a little sexy photo shoot before everyone came to the workshop, and me and Rosie were just like frolicking around in our cute little outfits, and he was taking photos. Oh, he was the event photographer. That's okay. An important detail. So that's why he had a camera and was like taking cute snaps of us. So like the first activity was you had to put on a blindfold and feed your partner chocolate.
Yes.
And I was partnered with Rosie, who was also running the workshop. So I put on my blindfold and she was feeding me chocolate. And then when I took my blindfold off, it was him, which could be... could sound creepy and non-consensual, but I was into it, so it was okay.
But wait, did your friend, like, switch out?
Yeah.
Okay, had he been, like...
He had made eyes with Rosie.
Oh my God.
And then, so, the next activities were, like, you had to massage each other's hands and communicate to the person how you liked it, which was good practice.
Oh
and we did, like, 5 minutes of eye gazing.
Oh,
and that's when we fell in love.
Oh my God. This is my dream love story. I'm freaking out.
And then the final activity was you had to tell your partner about your most satisfying sexual experience. Mm. So he told me his, and then I just said to him, like, in a mysterious, flirty way, I'll tell you mine later. And then I just like scampered off into the night, into the party, and just like went and danced with my friends. And we just kept sort of like coming back together through the night and like dancing together. And there was just a really strong connection. But I was trying to be mysterious. So like I left the party early, or I tried to leave, and I walked home, which was only 10 minutes away. I got home and I realized I'd left my coat, which had my key in.
Oh my God.
So I was knocking on the door, and like, this is a warehouse of 20 people. Usually someone's awake to let you in, but it was like 3 a.m. Yeah. No one was answering the door. So I was like, right, I'm going to have to go back to the party, get my coat and my key. So when I got back to the party, it had closed. Everyone was outside in the street, and I just saw Pasco, my partner now, in his cute little yellow puffer jacket. So I just went over to him and said, like, I can't get into my house. And he was like, oh, do you want to come to the after party with me? We went to the after party and just chatted until the sun came up.
Oh.
Then went back to his, and things got frisky.
Oh, yeah, they did.
It got hot. It was like he could read my mind. He like just did all my favorite things. I was like, who are you?
Whoa.
And then, yeah. And then 2 weeks later, the whole world locked down and we moved in together. And here we are 3 years later. And we've basically been together every day. And yeah, he is my family now.
Oh, Amy. Oh my God. This is truly everything. Like, this is honestly like a fairy tale Disney story that could be made into a movie, but like R18, the X-rated like version.
Like an adult version, yeah.
Oh my God. I'm just absorbing that, because these are the moments that we live for, you know, like these moments of connection and love, and to find your love of your life, your soulmate, in a fucking sexy event, sex club, essentially.
It was like, it was sex positive, you know, like there weren't people like shagging around us, but it was like playful. Yeah.
Fun. Better. Even better.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm.
Oh my God. Yes. Okay. So you wrote an article about your sobriety about a year ago, and I'm interested and curious to know about your journey with alcohol and specifically how it's affected your romantic relationships.
Yeah. Good question. So my dad is an alcoholic, so I never had a good model of drinking growing up. I started to get into some like bad habits in my teenage years, but when you're a teenager and then a student and then in your early 20s, it's just considered normal to get blackout drunk all the time.
Mm.
So, yeah, I was living in the warehouse and drinking basically every day because that kind of environment is a bit of an enabler for that kind of behavior. I was just feeling so shitty and hungover all the time and like not even being able to make it through the week. I would bookend my day with wine, like, oh, let's go get a bottle of wine to relax, or like, let's have a cocktail party. But this just became an unhealthy habit. And I wouldn't say that I was addicted to alcohol, but maybe I just don't want to say that because of the stigma of the word addiction. There was definitely a dependency there. Like, I would depend on it to do so many things, like be able to just dance and feel comfortable dancing. Or yeah, it's funny saying this now because I just feel such confidence after being sober for almost 3 years that I can't imagine not feeling confident without like a crutch now. It's hard to remember what it was like. It was definitely a really big thing. And in terms of with relationships, I think one of the key things that made me stop drinking was there were a few occasions with partners where I would feel shame about my drinking. Like the next day they'd say something like, do you remember what you did last night? Or like, do you remember what you said, in like a shaming way? And I would just be like, no. And that feeling, like that repeated feeling of shame, really is enough to make, well, me change that behavior. And yeah, I would just feel so embarrassed. But there was one particular occasion. So like, this was the last time that I had a drink. Pasco and I, it was during the first or second lockdown. We had like an MDMA margarita dance party one night, just the two of us. And then, which was like really fun. But then I couldn't sleep. And he was just like laying next to me asleep. And I just was like going over and over in my head all of the embarrassing things that I'd done whilst I was drunk. Or all of my shame was just like going through my head in a list. And then so in the morning, I hadn't slept. He woke up and I was probably looking really wired, just staring at him. And I said, like, I'm going to stop drinking for 100 days. And he was like, cool. So I did the 100 days and yeah, it was hard, but it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be because I was ready for it. Whereas there have been times before where I tried to stop for a month or, you know, dry January or sober October and I'd really struggled. But I think I was just so done with feeling shame and hangovers and just making myself sick from drinking that, yeah, I completed it. Wow. So after the 100 days, I was like, I feel amazing. Everything's so much better. And then I just haven't drank since.
Wow. That's so fucking inspiring, Amy. That's the most incredible journey. And also just that knowing, that like intuitive knowing, like waking up one day and just being like, you know what? I'm done.
Yeah.
And actioning it. And yeah, this is just so beautiful to hear and to witness you and to also just see your clarity. And yeah, also, as you say, your confidence in yourself. And like, you can't even really remember that person because you feel so good and confident in your body now. And the thought of having to have a drink to be able to dance versus now where you're just so free in your body and confident. It's really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, life is just so much better. And I feel like it's a secret that not many people know. It's like, do you want to be happier, less anxious, feel no shame? Well, not no shame. Sometimes feel shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, just stop drinking. But I mean, yeah, not everyone makes the tit out of themselves every time they drink. So,
what would you say sex is like pre-sobriety versus post?
I can remember it. Okay. And also, I think, well, I can only speak for myself. I feel more when I have not had a drink. Like alcohol would numb me in my mind and body. I have more sensation sober. So sex is naturally just better when you can feel more. I was thinking about this the other day and Pasco and I actually, we went sober together. So we both stopped drinking, which made the journey like a whole lot easier. But yeah, we were reflecting on this and I was thinking that actually I'm quite proud to say that I wasn't drinking before to be able to feel comfortable naked or having sex. That didn't really come into it. Yeah. So it's more just being able to be conscious and present during sex, being sober rather than numb.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were already feeling a lot of body confidence per se, or like it wasn't your sexual abilities or feeling about your body. It was more the sense of actually being aware and conscious of the experience that you're having and heightening the sensation that you're experiencing within those.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And what do you think is the biggest challenge you've had to overcome in your life in the realms of sex and love and relating?
I think my biggest challenge has been putting myself first. I used to, or I still do, put partners' needs ahead of my own. And I think that's quite a, I don't want to say feminine quality, but maybe it is. It's like, women so often, like, you know, put the needs of others in front of their own, and it's learning to prioritize myself over my partner, because I am able to be a better partner if I do put myself first. Also implementing my boundaries and practicing my no and feeling comfortable in that, because I am so bad at saying no, and I'm not good at having boundaries. Like Pasco said to me, he's like, I see you often putting yourself in uncomfortable positions to benefit other people. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's just so awkward.
It is awkward. It's uncomfortable to set boundaries. I totally get it. I get it. It's
so I'm learning. Yeah, that is a daily practice.
Yeah, and you're so not alone in that. And I think you're really right and accurate in saying it can be a feminine trait to just want to give, putting your needs aside and just give, because we're natural nurturers. And yeah, it makes sense that we want to give love in the way of that. And also, I think that we've been conditioned as well from society throughout time, the sense of giving and putting your needs to the side. And then there's the sense of like, martyrdom that can come up as well. I know that that's ripe within my family, like giving to the point of resentment, not even knowing that you're resentful because it's just coming out in a sort of leaky, unconscious way.
100%. And that at the end of the day serves no one. So I am trying to overcome that every day of my life.
Oh my God, you're not alone. You and me. And I'm sure a million other people that are listening to this. A million other people? Who do I think I am? We're not here yet.
Could
we
be.
We're viral.
Manifest it, baby. Manifest it.
We're manifesting that. Amazing. Okay. And so what are your red flags? And so when I say this, I mean your personal red flags. Like, what is it within you that is a red flag? So for example, one of my red flags would be I can be quite manipulative.
Okay. Give me a minute. Maybe it's my self-awareness, the fact that I right now I'm like, I can't think of any. I made a list of things to work on in myself about a year ago, and I feel like I'm doing a really good job at working on them, so I could say those, but maybe I've worked on them and they're not so red, they're like orange now. But for example, one of them was admitting when I'm wrong. Like I'm a really strong Aries, and so it's really hard to get me to be like, I was wrong, or it was. But I'm proud to say that I've been working on that and just been listening to other people's opinions and taking it all on board and being more open-minded about saying, you know what, you're right, and I am wrong.
Yes, that's a great one. I love that. An orange flag.
So it's getting slowly diluted as I become more self-aware and just try and be better.
Beautiful. And what are your green flags?
Oh, how long have you got? No, I'm just kidding. I am relentlessly positive, and I'm a yes person, and not in a way that, like, you know, I'll say yes and then not really follow through. Like, I like to make shit happen. And I feel like someone, like my motto is, someone has to do it, so why can't it be you?
I love that. Oh, I love that. It's hot.
That's hot, Amy.
Thanks, you're babe. Hot.
Okay. And final question, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Stop straightening your hair. And it sounds really skin deep and shallow, but there is some depth behind this. So I have curly hair, and it took me 25 years to realize that my curly hair was so beautiful and a blessing. Like, growing up in the UK, you see these like Herbal Essences hair commercial girls with like long straight hair, and I personally was like constantly fed the idea of like, when I straighten my hair, that's when it was beautiful. Yeah, friends and family and random people. And I used to work in Hollister, which is embarrassing, but you know, they would say like, oh, your hair is so pretty when it's straight. And yeah, so I was conditioned to feel like my natural curls, which is from my Caribbean side, that was not the beauty standard. So I stopped straightening my hair when I was about 25 and just really accepted it and love it. Like, I love having curly hair now, and it's such a part of me and my identity and who I am. And I mean, I'll straighten it like once a year just for fun to see what it looks like. But yeah, I would spend so much time and energy straightening my hair, trying to fit in. And I wish I had just stopped when I was a lot younger. So yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Amy, and thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate you. Oh, no,
thank you.
And I really just want to say that I just feel so inspired by your journey and everything that you've overcome, your determination, and as you say, your green flag being a yes person. Like, I can just so see that in you, and this determination to just actually live a life that is truthful to you. And yeah, I'm really inspired by your journey with both your career and your love, and now this lifestyle that you've chosen for yourself, and this sense of wanting to be off grid and go at a slower pace. I think it's really inspiring, particularly for me, who is often consumed by overwhelm and this constant persistence to be better and do better and succeed and all the things. And it's exhausting. So you've inspired me. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's just a pleasure to talk to you and to see you on this amazing journey that you're on as well. And I'm so inspired by you, because you're just not a person who could live out of your authenticity. You're always so, so majestically yourself. And it's beautiful to see. And I love it. And I love you.
Oh, I love you. Oh my God, damn, you didn't give birth on the potty.
No, I'm so sorry.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, following, downloading, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to work with me one-on-one or listen to more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com or follow us on Instagram at finger.food.podcast. Stay safe, stay sexy, see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.